Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coast to coast.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, that's my bad.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast, and we go to the MGM National Harbor now for our weekly soiree with the man, Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst. Prior to that, give me 2 seconds. I just saw this guy, Willy Wonka Jambalaya, have a tomahawk alley-oop dunk, and the kid threw the ball up in the air, and he caught it like on the roof of the building and threw it down. I saw him hit a step back three. I saw him have a space break ankle dribble drive step back dagger. I saw him have a baseline spin step back dagger. He had three breakaway dunks. And I've seen that all in 5 minutes. I don't even know what's happening here. It's so crazy, this guy. I mean, I wish I was a NBA owner and I could get my hands on this guy. I'd make a fortune. All right, Warren, you haven't seen talent like that on an NFL field yet, a guy with those kind of skills, but hopefully we'll see a lot of it starting tonight in Denver. Always great to get you back on the show. We're ready to rock here, and I know we got a lot we're going to hit, so why don't we start with the Colts and Broncos tonight in the Mile High City.
Yeah, this game, look, there's taken some sharp under money, and it's totally justified. I think this game is probably going to trend towards being a little bit lower scoring. But, there's a big but, and that is the referee in tonight's game calls things too tight defensively, calls a lot of defensive holding, a lot of defensive pass interference, a lot of roughing the passer. And as a result, you might not want to be too surprised about this game trickling over the total at some point. Now, I'm not saying I would bet the over just because of this referee, but it should be something that might want to keep you off of betting the number, especially since this total has moved several points towards the under already. Now, there are some angles that I like in this game. This Indianapolis Colts run defense has been absolutely brilliant, and as a result, I think Melvin Gordon is going to struggle to really break off some runs here. I also wonder about how many opportunities he's going to get with his fumbling issues that have been highly prevalent and discussed. As a result, under 14.5 longest rushing attempt, I think, is a bet that makes some sense tonight. If you want to look the other way, a rushing over that I like, sounds crazy to talk about this, Scott, but Matt Ryan, 1.5 yards in his rushing total. Like, he's gone over this at a pretty high rate. All he needs is one good scramble. I'm not really one for betting some of these, but the Denver Broncos have allowed this quite frequently, both this year and last year. I expect Matt Ryan to have at least 2 yards on the ground in this one. And then another Matt Ryan prop I'll give, another over, and that was 19.5 pass completions. Matt Ryan should probably exceed 19.5 completions. He's gone over this pretty frequently. So far on the season, 3 out of his 4 games have gone over this total. I expect him, it might be 20.5 at some spots. I would still go over 20.5 completions. They probably are going to lean a little bit more to the run, to the pass in this one.
So let me ask you, why do you think, Warren, that the Broncos have struggled so much? Every game, the game in Seattle was just so ugly. They barely did anything offensively against the Texans. The game that they beat the Niners, in my view, the Niners blew the game. I mean, the Niners had the game and they blew it. And I thought the Broncos played terrible in that football game. And then they lost in Vegas. And, you know, Gordon fumbles the ball. They had the bomb worked late. And Wilson got in the end zone late. But the Raiders got it done because they were so desperate. Why is it that Denver's having so many problems?
It starts with coaching. It ends with Russell Wilson. I mean, that's really like what it boils down to. We'll talk later on about Geno Smith and what he's doing out in Seattle. But Russ, his last season in Seattle, was not throwing the ball to where it was supposed to go. He was not passing in rhythm. He was passing in rhythm at the 33rd rate out of 42 quarterbacks last year for Seattle. Geno's up to number 5 this year. So it just shows you that even a quarterback maybe lesser talented but playing within the offensive scheme a little bit more, like Russ, is able to see more, unlike Russ, is able to see more success. And Russ has taken that kind of playground mentality a little bit to Denver, where he's not sticking to the script. He's probably not executing the plays exactly as they were called. And then I think the plays themselves are not great. And I think that Russ is not running. He's not as mobile as he once was. And as a result, he's not being as dynamic and causing defenses a lot of stress and consternation when they try to come up with a game plan against him. And so I just think a lot of it is coaching or Russ himself in terms of his age, his lack of mobility, and his desire to stick to the script as to what's being called and actually going out there and executing it really well.
We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. So he banged up his shoulder when Crosby landed on him, and you're talking about his lack of mobility and his age and everything else. Must have been a great decision to give him all that money they just gave him. Like, because I thought his best years were in Seattle. I don't know why they gave him that big, giant deal. He had years left on the deal that he had to get there.
Yeah, it was bad, Scott. They traded for him, and they could have just not given him that extension if that was possible to negotiate into it. Of course, Russ probably agreed to it because he was going to get the extension, but definitely a bad move. It definitely looks like that in hindsight for sure.
And, you know, I got to say, I think the, you know, Colts have looked awful. And I still am convinced that the game against the Niners was dirty. I don't know what happened there, but I still can't explain how they beat the Niners. If they played them, that game made me sick to my stomach. I mean, honestly, when we come back, we'll start hitting all the other games. I mean, the Chiefs, that game they lost.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're all back on Coast to Coast. We're live with Warren Sharp at the BetMGM Sportsbook in the MGM National Harbor, as usual on a Thursday. You know what I was talking about, Warren. The Niners had beaten the Broncos in that game, but the Broncos stole it 11-10. That was crazy. And then when I was talking about the Colts, I meant the Chiefs game. I still can't figure out how that team beat the Chiefs. That game was insane to me. When I was watching Mahomes, couldn't do anything the entire game. But every game, basically, other than that, I think the Colts have looked awful.
Yeah, look, that was a good spot for the Colts. And the defense changed strategies to try to slow down that Kansas City Chiefs offense. Gus Bradley did not run the same cover three looks that he used a lot for the Raiders when he was there or for the Chargers previously. And they were able to slow down Patrick Mahomes and confuse him enough. That being said, that was more so a loss that the Chiefs were self-inflicted. They had opportunities to win that game and they just blew it.
All right, let's talk about Seattle this week, going to Bourbon Street, coming off the win over the Lions. I mean, Goff putting up crazy numbers in that game, and everybody talking about it, but it was Geno that got it done again. Geno Smith's been unbelievable. He's been better than Russ Wilson. And, you know, if it wasn't for losing to the Falcons at home, they've played pretty well in most of the games. Obviously, the Niners roughed them up. But they did beat Denver in their opener, and here they are going to New Orleans. And that team you keep talking about, the Saints, on this show every Thursday about their lack of pass rush and getting to the quarterback, and it keeps biting them in the ass.
It does. And that's the surprising thing about this Saints team. When you think about the Saints, especially the prior years, because they still have Dennis Allen calling their defense. He's now the head coach, but they didn't lose him this offseason. And this team cannot get pressure on the quarterback. They rank dead last on early downs of pressuring opposing passers. They also are 25th in the NFL at yards allowed before contact to opposing running backs on early down runs. They've been bad against on the ground, bad against the quarterbacks, and that's going to be a problem against the Seattle Seahawks team, in my opinion. Geno Smith, I just mentioned, he has the fifth best rate of passes that are thrown in rhythm of any quarterback in the NFL this year. He's getting the ball out on time to where it's supposed to go, and that's going to hurt a Saints pass rush that struggles to get pressure at a high enough rate. That is surprising that Geno's played that well. It's also surprising that the Saints defense is struggling like it is in the trenches. What's not surprising, though, is this Seahawks defense has been terrible. This Seahawks defense was not good last year. It's even worse this year. Think about this on the ground, where I think like Alvin Kamara, if he returns this game, or whoever's running the football for the Saints, will be able to provide a ton of support to their quarterback. Listen to this nugget, Scott. Opposing running backs yards before contact league average is 1.3 yards before contact. The number 31 defense in the league allows 2 yards before contact. The New Orleans Saints run defense, the Seattle Seahawks run defense is 3 yards before contact. Not even close to number second worst and nowhere near the league average. I think that the Saints rushing attack is going to have a ton of space to run the football. And the Saints offense, if you look at their games this year, they've played 2 defenses that rank top 12. They haven't topped 14 points in either game. Then they played 2 mid-tier, slightly below average defenses. They scored 27 and 25 points in those 2 games against this terrible Seattle Seahawks defense. I think they're going to be able to score a lot. I think the Seahawks are going to be able to keep pace. Sounds to me like an over, and that's what I like in this game. I went over the total at a better number earlier in the week, but I still think that there's a little bit of value going over this number or simply going over this total in the first half.
And Penny's been running the ball. He was running the ball down everybody's throat last week. It was unbelievable. All right, let's move on to Tennessee and Washington. This one in Landover at the dump, and the Titans suddenly have won a couple games and started looking like them, their old selves again.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they're not their old selves again. They might have looked like it. They might have had some success. What's so bizarre about the Tennessee Titans is the fact that they are the best offense in the NFL in the first 4 drives of games at producing points, and then they go nowhere. Then they do nothing. 12 of their 19 first half drives they've scored points on. The best record, best rate in the NFL. Only 1 of 28 second half drives have they scored points. That's the worst rate of any offense in the NFL. This team is the only team in the NFL to have scored touchdowns on all 4 of their opening drives. They also have the highest points per drive rate on their first 4 opening drives. So their scripting plays well, they're setting up plays well, but once that script runs out and once they stop calling plays that were predetermined and they start trying to wing it, they've been absolutely terrible. And that's why opposing teams are able to come back in these games and have a lot of success against them. I view this Washington Commanders team as a live team, especially later on in the game, to come back and potentially get back into it with Carson Wentz chucking the ball all over the place. The one edge that the Washington Commanders have when they do pass the ball is that the Tennessee Titans defense ranks dead last in the NFL defending play action. They're number 32. They're also the most sensitive team when teams use play action because they rank number 9 if you don't use it and number 32 when you do use it. And guess what? Washington uses play action at the number 1 highest rate of any team in the NFL. That sets up well for Washington. The downside of it is that on nearly 50% of Washington's play action dropbacks, they're throwing the ball short of the line of scrimmage. That's the absolute worst place to throw the ball when you're using play action. Play action is sucking up the linebackers a little bit. It's making those DBs hesitate, maybe take a second to look in the backfield. When you then use play action and throw the ball really short, all those linebackers that were already taking a step up towards the line of scrimmage are even closer to make the tackle against those receivers that are catching the ball, which is why short play action does not work. I think the Washington Commanders are a live dog in the second half of this game. I also think the Tennessee Titans might go over their team total in the first half. It's like between 10 and a half points. I think either of those are good numbers to go over.
Wow, very interesting stuff, Warren, as always. Let's talk about the game over the pond in London. The Giants surprising everyone at 3-1, taking on the 3-1 Packers. Last week's game in London was wild with the Vikings and Saints. Do you expect another wild game here?
I don't know about wild. Look, Daniel Jones, we're going to see how healthy his ankle is. It was obviously indicative that he's going to play in this game by the fact that they did not sign another quarterback. They tried out a few. They ended up not signing him. I think Daniel Jones goes here as this team's QB1. I think Daniel Jones is going to struggle a little bit. I would lean towards his under in passing yards once they post that number, once it's confirmed that he's going to be playing. Part of the problem when you go up against the Green Bay Packers, the way the Packers are playing offense right now, it is this slow, monotonous battle where they march the ball down the field, they chew up a lot of clock. It's like a boa constrictor wrapping themselves around you. They don't really give you many opportunities to have offensive possessions, to have offensive drives to go up against their defense, because their offense is chewing up so much clock because they're calling high rates of run plays and they're converting on third downs pretty well. I think that the Packers have so many edges going for them in this game. They absolutely cannot blow it. I do believe that the Giants' 3-1 record is faulty. That's not really a novel statement, but I do think that the Packers should have some success, and this is set up to me to be a great teaser leg, teasing down the Green Bay Packers under the 7-3 and getting them at less than a field goal.
Wow. So what did you think of their performance against New England at Lambeau?
Yeah, that was a very scary performance if you're trying to back the Packers in this spot, which is why I'm not advocating laying the number here. But I think that this was one of those games where they are still figuring things out early on in the season. And I think Saquon Barkley could have a little bit of success here. And I think it's going to be incumbent upon the Packers to really load that box and force the Giants to throw the footballs. Don't let Saquon Barkley get going if you're the Green Bay Packers.
So when we come back, Warren's going to tap into the lion's share and hit the Bengals-Ravens game in the Charm City and tell you about Mixon's situation going into that when he has the rock. We'll talk Dolphins-Jets and Snoopy and East Rutherford, and Dallas going to see the hapless Rams even pick it against Buffalo and Orchard Park. We're talking to Warren Sharp on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, back on Coast to Coast. It's time for the lion's share from the BetMGM Sportsbook at the MGM National Harbor. Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst, is with us per usual on a Thursday for the entire hour. It's awesome. Let's start with the Bengals and Ravens in the Charm City. I am surprised, Warren, how the Ravens continue to blow giant leads at home.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about with you right now. Lamar Jackson, it starts and ends usually with the quarterback, and Lamar Jackson's splits first half to second half are extremely stark. His efficiency, whether you're looking at EPA or success rate or yards per attempt, all drop off dramatically in the second half of games. And I think some of that relates to the fact that this offensive coordinator, this offensive scheme is not making Lamar's life easy at any point in the game. They're not really calling plays like you get Andy Reid calling for Patrick Mahomes, where it's like a no-brainer first read pass to this guy and we're going to gain a lot of yards. It's not really this great run scheme, we're going to utilize it here and we're going to have success and stay ahead of the sticks. The run game is not great on the ground, and Lamar always has to contribute everything to this offense with his legs, with his arm, with his reads, buying time in the pocket, and that's all the upside that this offense gets. And so after 30 minutes and 40 minutes of doing that against the defense, he's getting worn down a little bit. They have to figure out a way to make life a little bit easier for him. My concern in this game is Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to read off to you, Scott, the points allowed by the Cincinnati Bengals in the third quarter of games over the last 16 games that they played. 0-0-0-3-7-0-0-0-10-0-3-0-0-3-3. Absolutely absurd what this defense is doing to opposing offenses in the third quarter, the adjustments that they're making, the way that they are holding opposing offenses
Incredible.
In check. And that is a concern going up against a Ravens team that already struggles tremendously in the second half of games, in part because of the way that Lamar Jackson isn't performing as well as he did in the first half. On the flip side of things, I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens' new defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, and I am thinking that he is going to incorporate a lot of too high shell looks against the Cincinnati Bengals. Even last week against the Miami Dolphins, Dolphins don't use a lot of too high, but when they did use some, Joe Burrow in this passing offense was not hitting Ja'Marr Chase, was not hitting explosives, but as soon as they stopped using it, boom, all of a sudden the floodgates opened and we saw bigger passing plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. This game is going to be a chess match between these defensive coordinators. The adjustments that they make, I'm wondering if Lou Anarumo is going to use more drop eight, rush three that he used late last season. I'm wondering if Mike McDonald for the Ravens is going to use a lot more two high shells than he previously used. I think the way that these defensive coordinators are going to scheme up against these dynamic quarterbacks with great arms might actually get this game to trend towards the under. I could obviously be way wrong, but I think there's going to be nice adjustments in the second half of these game of this game. I would look to bet the second half under at halftime, but pre-flop, you can go ahead and bet the under full game. I think that's where I would be looking at this one.
What do you think Mixon's problem has been?
Offensive line still has not gelled. You know, they rebuilt this offensive line. It's not protecting Joe Burrow well enough, and it's absolutely not opening holes for Joe Mixon. This was a problem last year that they thought that they were going to fix. Yards before contact per carry, Joe Mixon is always, in the last 2 years, dead last in the NFL. Like, he's among the worst in the league at having a line that's actually opening up a hole so that he can run through it. He's being contacted in the backfield far too high of a rate on his run plays, and it's causing a lot of problems for them to get anything going on the ground to support Joe Burrow.
All right, let's talk about the Dolphins going to see the Jets. And you have interesting things about that Dolphins offense compared to almost the exact opposite of what they're doing in the same department defensively.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is another kind of a surprising element here. Let's talk about this Dolphins offense real quick. The Miami Dolphins offense ranks number two in the NFL in efficiency and ranks number two in passing efficiency. And they've done that against the number one toughest schedule of opposing pass defenses. They have done nothing but play top 10 pass defenses except for one game, and that was against the number 14th ranked pass defense. This Jets defense is going to be the worst pass defense that they will have faced all year long. Like, not just the first 4 weeks, the whole rest of the season too. They are not going to play another defense that currently ranks as worse on their schedule as this one did. And look, there's no team in the league that needed 10 days of rest more than the Miami Dolphins. They play that ridiculous 90-snap game against the Buffalo Bills in the heat. Then they come back and they have to play a short road game on Thursday against the Cincinnati Bengals. Then they lost their quarterback in that game. They have to get Teddy Bridgewater ready. They had to answer all these questions from the firestorm that resulted after the concussion that Tua suffered. But this offense, we know, does a great job of getting their quarterbacks ready, does a great job of letting their quarterbacks find open receivers to throw the ball to easily, get a lot of yards after the catch. I think they're going to be just fine against this terrible Jets pass defense. On the other side of the ball, look, Zach Wilson absolutely is going to have to utilize play action well. He shocked me last week. Best play action numbers he's delivered since he came into the league were last week against the Steelers. He wasn't good utilizing it his rookie season in 2021. The Miami Dolphins, the NFL's worst defense against play action. I think that Zach Wilson might have some opportunities to hit some explosives here against this team. And as a result, with him using his legs in some of these too, when he's pressured by blitzes, I think we could have some explosive plays on both sides of the ball here. I think this game goes over. The total is supposed to be a beautiful day out here on the East Coast, up and down the East Coast. No wind, great sun, great weather day. Unlike last week, I think we're going to see enough points to go over the total.
Wow. And it sounds like both secondaries, at the very least, have not done anything to stop anybody. Although they got all the nice bounces, the Jets against the Steelers, with Claypool dropping a pass and Freiermuth dropping a pass, and they both end up with picks, and then Pickett threw the Hail Mary pick, which, you know, is, you know, inevitable, I guess, at the end of the day. We'll talk about them in a minute, though. Let's focus now on Dallas and the Rams at SoFi.
Yeah, and one last thing I want to add. Teddy Bridgewater played this defense last year when he was in Denver. He was working with Vic Fangio's offense. That was a very inefficient offense. Teddy was like 19 of 24, averaged 9.4 yards per attempt, plus 0.34 EPA, put up 26 points with that bad offense. I think they're going to do wonders here. When we talk about Dallas Cowboys against the LA Rams, look, I'm wondering how many Dallas Cowboys fans are going to be in L.A. for this game. Oxnard, where they have their training camp, is not very far from Los Angeles. And so we could have a little bit of a contingent of Dallas Cowboys fans in this game helping them a lot. I think hopefully they make a lot of noise, because I'm on the under in this game. I'm hoping that they affect the offense a little bit of the Rams, especially in the first half of this game. This is a game where we know what the Rams need to do. The Dallas Cowboys are a massive run funnel team. This is the fifth best pass defense, and they're number one against explosive passes. But they are dead last against explosive rushes, and they are one of the bottom five run defenses in the league. You have to start out running the football here, and that's going to be the big question mark. Will Sean McVay run the ball enough? Normally, I'm talking about passing the ball more, but the reason specifically that I want the Rams to focus more on the run here is because their offensive line stinks. They're down to their third-string center. They just lost another offensive lineman in their last week's game. They got sacked, what, seven times, hit like 12 in total. It's something crazy like that against the 49ers. 49ers have the best pass rush in the league. Dallas has the number two best pass rush. If they ask Matthew Stafford to drop back as much as they've done on the season to date, he's going to be like a wounded antelope there for a pride of lions to just rip him to shreds. They need to slow down this pass rush by running the football a little bit. That's their key to success. And then on the other side of the ball, I think Cooper Rush has been fine, but like these final scores, they've been pulling away in the fourth quarter thanks to some high variance plays going their way. This Cowboys team is not as good as the final scores have indicated. These games have all been very close. They are kicking a ton of field goals in their games. I just find it difficult for them to really build an insurmountable lead or jump out to anything against this Rams team. I think the game's going to be close and competitive, but just a little bit lower scoring.
I got to tell you, Warren, I mean, you know, that offensive line you're talking about of the Rams is so bad. And, you know, their defense is so bad. And with the line being that bad and their running game has been that bad, Akers has been that bad. What makes you think they can run the ball against anybody? They looked terrible the other night. They couldn't do anything right.
It's a good point. That is going to be their struggle. It's the way they need to attack, because otherwise Matthew Stafford might die. But they probably aren't going to have that much of an upside of success, because everything hinges on the offensive line. People think that it's, oh, you stick back Adrian Peterson or Barry Sanders back there behind this Rams line and he'll still have success. That's wrong. This line being as terrible and playing as many backups is going to cause this run game to limit the ceiling that it ends up having. And they are probably going to struggle to run the ball well here, but they're going to have to do that to take some pressure off of Stafford.
Do you think, we'll save the Steelers for the next segment, but do you think Dallas has a shot to win the game in LA? I mean, they keep winning.
Yeah, I mean, look, I hope that they don't, because I bet their under win total looked like a great bet a while ago. Now it's not looking quite as good. So I hope that the Rams pull this one out. There's been contingents on both sides. Some guys took the Cowboys early, big sharp groups, dropped this number down tremendously. And then there's been a little bit of money that's come in to bet the Rams up a little bit more. I really have no position on the side here at all.
All right, when we come back, we'll hit the Steelers and Bills in Orchard Park. And the Chargers, Browns, Niners, Carolina, Philly, Zona, Chicago, Mini, Detroit, New England, Atlanta, Tampa, Houston, Jacks. We're talking to Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. We're live at the MGM National Harbor, and Warren Sharp is our lead NFL analyst. He's at the BetMGM Sportsbook there, styling as usual on a Thursday with us. Let's start with the Steelers and Bills in Orchard Park here. And everyone's talking about the line being 14 and Kenny Pickett making his first start. And in short, let me just say, I didn't think he played bad at all against the Jets. I said before on the show that, you know, Claypool dropped the bomb. They got picked by Whitehead, whatever. Then you get the Freiermuth pass. I thought was not a smart pass, you know, running backwards and sideways, throwing to the sideline. But it was on point. It was right in his hands. He dropped the ball. They picked that off. And then the Hail Mary, I expect that to not happen anyway. But he ran the ball in the end zone twice. He provided him a spark. He's the starter now going forward. What did you think of him, and what do you think of his chances against this team in this city, in that stadium?
Well, the one interesting thing is last week's game, he was throwing the ball down the field, right? They were trying to catch back up and score. No ball touched the ground, obviously, with the interceptions that he threw, no incompletions, but he was being very aggressive. I thought he was fine for his opening game. You're not expecting a lot out of him. I thought it was silly that they're now going with him in this game. You could have easily made the switch last week and given him extra time to prepare for the game last week that he had, because the Steelers played on Thursday the week before. Made no sense to me whatsoever, but is what it is now. They're going up to play the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo typically is going to be in its bag in a game like this. My one concern for them is they are going up against the Kansas City Chiefs next week. And you got to think, after playing two very difficult games against a team like the Miami Dolphins, then a team like the Baltimore Ravens, that there's going to be a little sense of like complacency and overlooking a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I expect the Steelers to be in a bit of trouble here and check the injury report, because they have a number of guys specifically in their own secondary that are banged up here. But I'm excited to see what Kenny Pickett does here on the road in this spot. I'm excited to see how he performs. This defense is suited really well to prevent explosive passes down the field. They play a lot of the two high shell looks. They're going to force things underneath. You may want to look at Kenny Pickett exceeding his completions, something like that, as opposed to a yardage prop if you are trying to get on the bandwagon here. No way I would smart. Be laying the Bills in this spot. If anything, I'd be taking the Steelers.
Wow, that's really smart, Warren. You can follow at Sharp Football as well with Warren Skinny. Every day of the week, it's the best thing that'll happen to you. It's more important than water and oxygen. The Chargers and Browns at the Dog Pound in Cleveland. Talk about that Browns defense. I said earlier on the show, I know everyone's just constantly ranting and raving about how great Justin Herbert is and the Chargers. I don't think they're that good. I think their defense sucks, and he's already got rib damage. If I'm the Browns, I put his ass down. That's the key to this game. Run the ball and then sack his ass.
Yeah, for sure. They got to try to do that, and their pressure is good. We got a banged up Chargers offensive line. The Cleveland Browns are going to be getting Myles Garrett back for this game. It doesn't matter so much if Jadeveon Clowney's there. Myles Garrett is the key to this pass rush. Brings him up to the second most pressure rate of any team in the NFL. So they're going to have to get some pressure on Herbert, who absolutely carved him up. This Browns defense is terrible against wide receivers. Now, fortunately, the Chargers wide receiving core isn't healthy. I mean, I don't understand what goes on with this team and how snake bitten they are from an injury perspective year in and year out. But once again, they don't have a full complement of wide receivers to be able to go against a defense that's bad against wide receivers. I think both teams are going to have some success on the ground running the football. Nick Chubb, longest rushing attempt, 18 and a half. I like that over. Nick Chubb's going to break out some rushes in this game, going to explode for a little bit against this LA Chargers defense. And I think it's going to come down to which quarterbacks take care of the ball well enough and which run games are most successful. I think that there's reason that the Browns have taken some sharp money here. Smart bettors, big bettors believe that the Browns are going to have some success running the football here, and the Chargers aren't going to be able to throw the ball down the field as much as they were able to do last year against this Browns team when they played in LA.
I watched them, against the Falcons at Mercedes. I don't know how the hell they lost the game. They're running right for 25 yards. They're running left for 25 yards. Hunt one way, Chubb the other. I mean, I thought their rushing attack was fantastic. Their pass defense is garbage, but they have the potential to run the ball down your throat all day long. I don't know why they even try to get away from him. I think Brissett is bad luck. I got to tell you, I want nothing to do with that guy. The Niners, what team are they? Are they Houdini? They look fantastic against the Rams. They look terrible when they lost in Denver, whatever it was. I can't figure this team out. Now they're playing a real crappy team in Carolina in Charlotte.
Yeah, what is Matt Rhule? Like one win out of 28 games when the other team scores at least 17 points? I got something to tell you. I think with the injuries that the Carolina Panthers have just suffered in their secondary, they lost Jeremy Chinn, one of their starting safeties. They might be without their other safety. I'm not sure the latest on that, but I saw a note come by my desk today that says he might miss this game as well. That defense looked way different against Kyler Murray's Cardinals in the second half of that game once Chinn went out. I think that this defense is going to give up some points to this San Francisco 49ers offense. Thus, I see the 49ers scoring at least 17 points, which means not a great day for Matt Rhule and probably another L. I think the 49ers make for an interesting teaser leg, though it's not one that I'm going to include on some of the teasers that I like, but they do make for an interesting leg because I do see them going out there. They are good enough. Baker Mayfield, with or without pressure, he is terrible. And I don't know why they thought he would be the answer, but this is just another in a litany of horrific quarterback decisions that Matt Rhule has gone out there. He's targeted a guy he's wanted. He's told the team, make it happen. The team's made it happen, and the guy stinks with Matt Rhule coaching him. I don't have a lot of expectations for the Carolina Panthers the rest of the way here.
And that Ryan's defense, I mean, I can't imagine Mayfield having anything except a migraine headache by the time that day is over. Philly and Zona and Glendale in the Valley, the Eagles have done whatever they want. They were down 14 to the Jags. Now, it always helps having five turnovers. You got to win a game, you're up 14-0 on the road when you have a team. Jacksonville's got a team. They can move the ball, they can pass the ball, they can stop everything defensively, and yet all those turnovers killed them. Philly got it done. The way they ran the ball was Gainwell, Sanders, right through the middle with nobody touching them. What do you think they're going to do here in Glendale?
That's the thing, Scott. That's the great and fun thing about this Philadelphia Eagles offense right now. They can win in a variety of ways. In the middle of a monsoon, they can win by running the ball more. They massively reduced their target depth and massively increased their yards after the catch in that game. Whereas the first few weeks, they were throwing the ball at a high rate, but throwing it deeper down the field. And this offense can dial up whatever they need to against a given defense. And guess what? It's not going to take that much head scratching to figure out a game plan against this terrible Arizona Cardinals defense. It's one of the worst when you use play action against them. It's one of the worst defenses in the league when the quarterback buys a little bit of time. When the quarterback's holding the ball for 3+ seconds, this defense completely breaks down. And against with a good offensive line that the Eagles have, Jordan Mailata to be determined in terms of his status for the game, notwithstanding, this team should be able to protect Jalen Hurts enough to really take advantage of some of the weaknesses of this Arizona Cardinals secondary. The other side of the ball, though, is where I want to focus on here. This offense, I don't know what they're doing at the first quarter of games. Maybe they're playing a bunch of video games or Cliff Kingsbury's out wooing the women in the stands. But this team has not scored a single point in the first quarter in any game this season. And ever since Cliff Kingsbury, I don't know if you remember, like, Scott, back like 5, 10, 15 years ago, playing out in Arizona was a tough task for any team. Any visitor out there, they had one of the worst ATS marks going on the road and trying to play Arizona. Since Kingsbury took over in 2019, the Arizona Cardinals have the worst home ATS record of any team in the league. They are terrible covering spreads at home. I don't know if there's too many distractions for Kingsbury and the staff out there, but the offense stinks out the gates, and they're terrible at home. I think the Eagles -3 in the first half is a pretty reasonable way to look at this game, especially considering how the Eagles tend to jump out on opponents early on and win games in that first half. I think that's the way I would look in this one.
Yeah, that's smart as well. Speaking of bad teams, the Bears are playing in Minneapolis against Cousins at U.S. Bank. They got it done in London in that insane game with the double doink. They got the win. That's all that matters. They didn't cover. But they play a lot better when they play at U.S. Bank. And the Bears, to me, just look awful. If it wasn't for that hurricane they played in against the Niners, I think they'd be winless.
Yeah, I don't know. The Bears, you know, they are funny. Like, I really do feel like their coaching staff is just trying to win by any means necessary and not really develop the quarterback like he needs to. They're not calling good plays. They're not giving him enough protection. The whole concept of this offense, to me, is problematic. I don't see a lot of upside for them here. It's no wonder that Minnesota took a little bit of money this morning. Once again, there's another opportunity for a teaser leg with the Vikings playing at home after playing in London. That's the only concern, is like the jet lag. And did they plan their week well enough to come back and still perform at an elite level here at home against the Chicago Bears? But it's an opponent they know well. It's in their home stadium. If they lose to the Chicago Bears and the way that Justin Fields and this offense is playing, I mean, shame on me for betting the Minnesota Vikings over. I need them to win this game. This is a definite winnable game, and they should be good on a teaser leg, but I'm not including them in my teasers either, although it makes a lot of sense to do so.
So the Lions score a lot of points, but they don't win. They're going to Foxborough against the Pats. Can they do anything against Bailey Zappe?
They could. I mean, look, this offense is dynamic enough that it could. I don't know if they're getting enough of their players back. So this is yet another one of those games where we're still only week five, but this offense is a mash unit. They got offensive lineman injuries. They got receiver injuries. They got running back injuries. So pay close attention to the injury report that gets released today on Thursday and Friday, the final one that goes out there, to see who even the Lions are going to be able to travel with to New England to take on the Patriots. Patriots minus 2.5 was a very sharp move earlier this week. I believe that the Patriots are going to have a ton of success running the football here. It's what they try to do anyways. It's what they tried to do against the Green Bay Packers last week. It's what they try to do against anybody that they play, given the fact that their quarterbacks stink. I mean, I don't like the way that the Patriots are calling their offense. They're using some of the lowest rate of play action in the league, even though they have some of the best efficiency of any team in the league when they use it. Why not help the quarterback use more play action? They're certainly running the ball enough to set that up. I don't like what the Patriots are doing offensively, but I do think that they will have success running the football here and set themselves up in a good enough position to cover a short number.
God forbid the Buccaneers lose three in a row at home. They're taking on Atlanta.
Yeah, teaser leg galore earlier in the week. Now the spread is 9, 9.5. You no longer can tease this team down with a 6-pointer. Atlanta's been playing over their heads a little bit. I bet Atlanta ATS last week plus the 3. Obviously was happy with the cover. But this team, without Cordero Patterson, I think is a big downgrade for them. For most teams, I'm not going to care as much about the running back, but how much they run and the way that they attack with the angles and the run schemes, I think not having him there is going to be a big downgrade. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense is going to have a lot of fun moving the football against this Falcons defense.
When we come back, two games left, the Houston Jacks and, of course, the Vegas Kansas City Monday Nighter. We're talking to Warren Sharp at the National.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live at the MGM National Harbor with Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst. You can catch him every Thursday with me on Coast to Coast. He's on Sports Grid a lot, and God bless him, because he's providing you with skinny unequaled by his peers anywhere. He is setting the standard and the bar very high here at Sports Grid with the work he's bringing us and the numbers and the analytics and the insight and on both sides of the ball. He's just an absolute freak. I love having him on the show. All right, Jacksonville. 5 turnovers, that'll lose you your game, your girlfriend, your lover, your job. I mean, that's the way you lose in the NFL. But Houston is so awful. I don't know how Lovey does it, keep getting all these high-paying jobs in college and pro when all he does is lose. They're going to lose in Jacksonville. That Jaguars team, they don't turn the ball over. They're a good football team.
They're a very good football team. Look, I think as long as Doug Peterson refocuses this Jaguars team? Because last week was a big game for him, right? Going up to Philadelphia, the team that fired him, and getting his new job in Jacksonville and having a chance to go take revenge for that and not hitting the mark in all the rain with all the turnovers, that's going to be an emotional letdown. But as long as he can harness this team's focus and direct it against the Houston Texans, this team should be able to win on both sides of the ball. I think offensively, they have edges against this Texans defense. They're going to be able to run and pass. Defensively, they're strong enough as well. I think the Jags make a great teaser leg here. Tease them down to -1, I think, is a smart way to play teasers this week.
How about Mahomes on the Monday Nighter at Arrowhead against Vegas? Vegas had to win last week, and they did. They barely got by Denver, but Kansas City looked great in Tampa.
Kansas City did not surprise me at all. I was on the Bucs. The line moved against me. I'm fine with cashing a ticket either way. I think they're going to look good here. The one question is, how much pressure do the Raiders get? They blitz at the 22nd rate in the league, but they get pressure at the number one rate in the league. But as long as the Mahomes-led Chiefs can survive that pressure, they're going to have a lot of success in this game and put up some points, even though this is not the same Gus Bradley-style defense that the Raiders have utilized against him in the past.
Warren Sharp, my man, great job today. Thanks for giving us all the stuff we need to make some money this weekend in the NFL. We'll see you again next week, buddy.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness. Award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings. Cultural sites to open your mind. And dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.